Every October, people buy tickets and stand in line waiting to be scared. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Happy Halloween. This hour, we're going behind the scenes at some of Iowa's favorite haunted houses. The Slaughterhouse in Des Moines, Circle of Ash Scream Park near Cedar Rapids, and Skellington Manor in Davenport. We'll talk about the art of scaring people and what keeps the actors coming back for more. We'll also talk about groups that hold haunted events for fundraisers, and we want to hear your favorite haunted house memories. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Happy Halloween. This hour, we're going behind the scenes at some of Iowa's favorite haunted houses. We also want to hear your haunted house memories, your favorite experiences, maybe from childhood or more recently. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We're going to talk about Circle of Ash Scream Park near Cedar Rapids, Skellington Manor in Davenport, Scream Acres outside of Iowa City, but we're going to start with the Slaughterhouse in Des Moines. And we sent Iowa Public Radio producer Lindsay Moon on a fact-finding mission to the Slaughterhouse. In fact, things got scary even before she made it to the door. As she was standing in line, a masked, bloodied actor wearing chains darted up to a group also waiting in line, and one visitor decided that was enough for her.
I can't do it.
She did go home. The Slaughterhouse is located in Des Moines, just north of downtown. And when Lindsay got inside, she was met with actors wearing pig masks.
Okay, so we're walking through a corridor where it looks like there used to be showers and there's some blood. What's painted on this wall? Something will kill us.
Oh my God.
There's water squirting. I have to move away and I just cannot see anything. I feel like I'm being targeted because I have recording gear. We just got ushered from a cage that was rocking into something that's kind of like an amusement park ride. As we walk through this last, what is like one of the last rooms in this haunted house, there are bodies suspended from the ceiling. There's a flashing light. It's really disorienting. We came outside and did not come out. We are still in this.
Lindsay Moon did make it home safely. This hour, we're talking about haunted houses around the state of Iowa. And joining me now is Ian Miller, co-owner of the Slaughterhouse in Des Moines. Hello, Ian.
Hello and happy Halloween, yes. Charity.
Happy Halloween to you, too. So, Ian, Lindsay certainly gave us the feel for the Slaughterhouse, but describe it for people who haven't been there.
Well, we've got a rich history. It goes back to the 1850s. The Biggs clan is who we are. And
Ian, for today, you describe the attraction? I mean, when people come up to the Slaughterhouse, what do they see?
Well, you come up to an old factory building. It was originally the Iowa Paint Factory building just near downtown Des Moines. And you enter a whole other world. So you see the fog rolling through, the red lights. The atmosphere of carnage begins right at the gates. So we've got line actors, as they're called, who are characters that have come out of the attraction and haunt the queue lines and just outside the gate perimeters. So everything that you see when you walk up is all legitimate, real props. We've got giant hog feeders and pallet walls and hog gates and old hog ringers, things that you'd find on a farm, an old heritage farm, scattered around the courtyard just near the loading dock, which is a legitimate loading dock from the old factory that we ramp you up and into the attraction through.
How long have you been doing this with the slaughterhouse?
This attraction is about a decade in the making. We started in 2010, and it started as Big Al's Slaughterhouse, and then it has just transmuted over the years and become more defined as just the slaughterhouse.
How many people do you have involved in acting and creating this slaughterhouse?
Sure. We started back in 2010 with about 12 people. It was bare bones, skeleton crew, as if you will. And today we have a team of just under 60 people.
Wow. And do you have a lot of people that have been coming back every year?
We do. There's about six of us that have been involved from the second year. I've been involved since the first year, but there's about six individuals that have come back from year to year.
And when you bring people on board, how much freedom do they have in sort of creating their characters or creating what they're going to do to scare people? Or are you masterminding all of what's going on?
Well, as I kind of mentioned before, we have this lineage. We have a novel that is actually available, The Biggs, A Family Affair, tell-all tale of America's most heinous cannibals.
And Trig Biggs is your alter ego.
Yep, Trig is a character I play. But yeah, we give a framework to our team, and then they are able to then create their own Biggs identity through the framework of our history, and then kind of extrapolate their own identity from that. And we give them a lot of freedom, honestly.
And what kind of research have you done or learned over time about how best to scare people?
I think that fear is something we all understand. I think it's intrinsic, a part of our nature. And, it's just through practice that we understand how better to do anything. And so, honestly, I have read a lot of books on and papers on the psychology of scaring and fear and whatnot, but it really comes down to the practice. The proof is in the pudding. And so, I get a lot of practice.
What kind of reaction are you hoping to elicit from the people who visit?
Honestly, fear is fun, and it is reflective for people, I think. But I really want people to have a good time. I want them to be able to remove themselves from the reality, the true horror of their mundane life, and suspend that disbelief for a moment and have a good time. That's really our goal.
Well, and as we talk about the different haunted houses throughout the hour, they all have very different vibes. Now, the slaughterhouse, I think some might describe it as straight up horror. There's also a really gross element to it, right?
Sure. Yeah. The concept is that there's we run a hog rendering facility year round. And during Halloween, we give tours of the facility in a little different way, with a Halloween flair. We all put masks on and turn our blades to the people. The people become the pigs. That's our theme is blood and gore and gruesomeness and slasher films. But as I said before, we do our best to make it a fun house of fear.
Well, and it's dank, it's dirty, there's plenty of fake blood, and it also smells bad. I mean, you've worked hard to make it smell bad.
Yeah, we use a lot of the state-of-the-art effects that are available that a lot of the haunts use now. We use aromas. We've got several, including Slaughterhouse itself. We've got Barnyard and, of course, Poop. And zombie, and definitely a myriad of smells that you don't want rubbing up against you. They're all throughout the place.
So, how does that help with the fear factor or the fun factor?
All of those senses have to be touched in some way. All of our senses have to be touched in order to truly, I think, take us to a different place. To allow that suspension of disbelief to occur. And so we do our best to complete that immersive environment. We make things move under your feet. We make you move through environments that you brush against materials or are compressed by materials. We make you duck. We make you tuck. And, yeah, we move you around. We change the chemistry of your body for a short period of time. Therefore, we're able to distract you and then ultimately scare you.
How long were you dreaming of this before you were able to make it a reality, Ian?
This whole thing started for me when I was about 7 years old. There was a family up the street that was the antithesis of my family in terms of spirituality and religious practice. And my parents were very strict Christians, actually, and we weren't allowed to trick or treat. And my mom would take us on Halloween day. She'd take us to the library, and she'd read us books about this satanic origin of Halloween. So I was deprived of Halloween when I was a child, and there was a family up the street who invited me up one Halloween to help decorate the barn. And they had a little shed in the backyard, and we created a little haunted attraction. And I was the ticket taker at the front, and we had about five kids go through, and we made $1.25, I think. And yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it stuck with me. It just started to grow from there.
So a dream come true and an act of rebellion.
I always like to say a nightmare come true, but yes.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We're talking about haunted houses around the state of Iowa this hour. I've been talking with Ian Miller, co-owner of the Slaughterhouse in Des Moines. We're also going to talk about the Circle of Ash Scream Park near Cedar Rapids, Skellington Manor in Davenport, Scream Acres in Johnson County, and we want to hear your stories too. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about haunted houses around the state of Iowa. With me, Ian Miller, co-owner of the Slaughterhouse in Des Moines. And we want to hear from you. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Brad is on the line from Des Moines. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Charity.
Hi.
Ian, thanks for doing what you do, man. It's fun to bring that to this time of year. We appreciate it. So I grew up in Fort Dodge, and the Tortoma Sundowners just put on amazing haunted houses in these giant warehouses downtown. And much like you said, they'd set up little scenes that you'd walk up on. They'd have you crawl in places. They had real, pigs hanging from the ceiling and chainsaws. And it was just a lot of fun. And it was a fond memory as a child growing up. So that's all I wanted to share.
What do you think the appeal is? I mean, throughout this hour, Brad, we'll talk about why people spend good money to go get scared. What do you love about it?
Well, I mean, to Ian's point, like, fear is a part of our day when it comes to things we can't control. But, like, this kind of fear is something that brings adrenaline in a fun way where it just shocks you and you're laughing. You know it's not real, but yet it just takes you out of your everyday. And so it's a different kind of fear, and it's just fun. So I just think it's a great thing that that you don't get to do any other time of any other holiday season either. So very unique.
Well, Brad, thank you so much for calling.
You bet.
You're welcome to join our conversation as well, 866-780-9100. I've got a couple of other people that I want to check in with here. Mark Fuller is here, co-owner of Circle of Ash Scream Park near Cedar Rapids. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Charity. How are you?
Good. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Also with us is Mike Terzinski, director of haunt operations for Skellington Manor in Davenport. Hi, Mike.
Hello, happy Halloween.
Yeah, happy Halloween to you too. And Mark, I'm going to let you go first. We've talked about what the slaughterhouse is like, this big, slaughterhouse. So what is the Circle of Ash Scream Park like?
So Circle of Ash Scream Park is, we take the theme park concept where you pay your admission and then you can go to different attractions and you can go as many times as you want in the night. So we kind of take the theme park concept and flip it on its head for our purposes. We have three main attractions. Frightmare Forest is a haunted, about a quarter mile walk through the woods, where all the rats and snakes and all the creepy things are real. Then Circle of Ash is not only the name of our scream park, but is also one of our attractions. And that is kind of the classic haunted house. Lots of very high detailed sets, lots of actors, sound and lights and all of those sort of things. And then Pandemonium is our third main attraction that is housed in a big circus tent. That is a fog-filled, strobe-filled maze. That is where we send most of our clowns to tell you the wrong direction to go. It is an actual maze, and they have all sorts of fun in there.
So not only are you trying to find your way through a maze, but you have people obstructing you and
Absolutely. Misleading
you and all kinds of things. You can never trust a clown.
Absolutely.
So how many people do you have involved in putting this attraction on?
So we have 114 on our cast list this year. Of those, we have between 40 and 50 every night.
Wow. And how long have you been doing this?
This is my 15th season as a haunted house person. I started in 2004. Just as a regular volunteer, came home from college one day and told a family friend that I wanted to go scare people and ended up out there and I never left.
Really? So it just built from there. And with the people who interact as actors or clowns or whatever at Circle of Ash Scream Park, how many people do you think do come back?
We see a lot of not only returnees from year to year, but we see multiple people return multiple times in the season. One of the things that kind of makes us a little unique is that we're a completely volunteer organization. And so I mentioned that we have 114 on our cast roster, but only half of those show up every night. So that gives a different experience, not only from year to year, but each individual night can be a different experience as well.
Interesting. How long are you open in the season?
We are open for 5 weeks, all the way from the end of September, all the way through the last weekend in October.
All right. And Ian, how long is the slaughterhouse open?
We open in the weekends of October. We may expand a little bit next year to open in late September so that other haunters can have a chance to come down to our attraction. But typically we're weekends through Halloween.
Right. That must be really frustrating. People who are fans of haunted houses will be putting on their own haunted houses. You don't get to visit each other very much, do you?
Yeah, double-edged sword.
Yeah, we were fortunate to go and visit Ian on one Thursday night that they happened to be open that we weren't. But generally, it's very difficult to for us to go and visit our friends.
Yeah. Well, Mike Terzinski, director of haunt operations for Skellington Manor in Davenport, thank you for being here and describe Skellington Manor for us.
So ours is an old Masonic temple. So we already kind of have a creepy factor going with that. But we kind of, our sub-theme is called Theater of the Macabre. So we kind of go for the creepy, weird vibe when it comes to our haunt. Just, again, very high-detailed sets, lighting, props. We have well over 100 animatronics in the house, all powered by air that helps scare people, as well as a cast of about 100 people, about 60 to 70 on any given night. And yeah, we just kind of try and hit all the different senses, the different ways you can scare throughout the course of the attraction.
So, and when you say sort of creepy and macabre, can you give me an example of the kinds of things that people would encounter?
Yeah, so right up the stairs, you encounter a couple rooms just packed to the gills with creepy dolls and a couple live dolls in there as well, asking to be their mommy or to come home with them and stay with them and just kind of that creep factor. And then you can go upstairs and it's more kind of a slasher flick vibe with kind of serial killers running around the boiler room and possibly, you know, trying to take you off and scare you that way. We have zombies. We have a big giant graveyard, an indoor graveyard, so to speak, in one of our big giant rooms. So we kind of try and hit all the different horror tropes all at once.
All right. And this is the 25th anniversary of Skellington Manor?
Yes, technically. This is our second location. Our first location was out in the woods. So we have grown a long way in those 25 years. But we've been in the manor since 2009.
How long have you been involved?
Relatively new compared to everybody else. This is only going to be my third season. I got brought on 3 years ago when their technical director was taking another job, and I just kind of grew from there and fell in love with it.
All right, and your day job is as a lighting designer, right?
Yes, I'm a theatrical lighting designer and technician and that kind of and direct plays as well.
Yeah, well, that sounds like you have a lot of skills that come in extremely handy when it comes to working in a haunted house. As Mark was just saying, they're a volunteer organization. How about you, that cast of about 100 people? Are they volunteers?
We are paid.
Oh, okay.
It's not a strictly, you know, like hourly basis sort of pay, but we do pay our actors for their time to the best of our ability. So, yeah.
Now, how about at the slaughterhouse, Ian?
We are paid 100%. We have some volunteer slots, but we typically reserve those to partnering organizations like the JCs this year. But we have, as I mentioned before, about 60 paid staff, and a lot of those are at minimum wage, but then we have some management positions that are at a higher wage than that, and then it just depends year to year on wages.
We are talking about haunted houses around the state of Iowa this hour. You're welcome to join the conversation with your favorite haunted house memories, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. So you all must have people who come to you and say, hey, I want to be part of your haunted attraction. I want to be one of the actors. When they come to you and say that, how do you decide who would be good at being part of your haunted attraction? Mark, I'll let you go first.
Because we are a volunteer organization, we try to take all comers. No, not everyone can be an actor, but if you can't act, maybe you can take tickets, or maybe you can be one of our security team, or maybe you're really good at fixing props, or we use generator power, so we have a guy who's really good at fixing our generator for us. So those, we try to find roles for everybody. And when they do come, if we decide that they want to act, we generally kind of throw them in a low-level role, just kind of a jump-out-and-boo type character. And then we'll work with them in the off season on building a bigger role and a bigger character. We just don't have time on any given night to.
All right. So working with them in the off season, what does that look like?
We actually host training days. And that's generally about a month before we open, and that's everything from improv development to characters to our emergency procedures. We tend to kind of run them through the ringer on those training days because they need that training for when we open.
And do people get to bring their ideas for characters to you?
Absolutely. We do have sort of a set scenario, but if they want to build something with us, they can come to us in the spring and we'll help them create their own scenario as well. And then if they want to act in their own scenario, develop their own character for that scenario, we are happy to develop that with them.
All right. Well, and Mike, with Skellington Manor, we talked about your involvement in the theater world, so you must know a lot of actors. But how do you decide when people come to you, how do you decide if they could be scary enough?
We're in a very similar vein. We take just about anyone who walks through the doors, just because we think everyone should have a chance to experience this. It's coming from the theater world. It's a very, very different kind of acting. It's a very different kind of theatrical experience. You have a new audience every 15 to 30 seconds, and that's a very different thing than most people are used to. And it doesn't take just people that have acting experience to do it. Just about anyone can come up the street and give it a shot. Some of the best scares we have aren't, actors that are trained in any way, shape, or form. They just come in with an idea and give it a go, and we help mold it and shape it and give it some life. And then we have some great product at the end of it.
How about you, Ian? I know that we've talked about your storyline being more developed than a lot of haunted houses. How do you recruit people, and how do they get on board?
The family seems to multiply through direct connections. So typically we will hold auditions starting around June, first round of auditions, and typically we see about 30% of our newcomers at that point in time, and they're typically direct connections of already existing characters. At that time, we audition all of our pre-existing character roles as well and make sure that everybody's head is still in the game. From that point, then we go into a second and third round audition, and then we finish it out with a full day of training in a round robin style inside the attraction and kind of cross train people in the same way that Mark and Mike both identified with safety procedures as well as psychology of fear, as well as tactics and whatnot inside the haunt, and then operations of certain mechanical objects and things that are needed to be used to operate depending on your position. But safety is a very big concern, especially these days, with active shooter scenarios and whatnot. And so we do have a vetting process. We do some preliminary background check stuff. We are careful about who we bring in, especially with a collaboration like Slipknot, which we had this year, where safety is really an ultimate concern for everybody involved as well as the patrons.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about that collaboration with Slipknot in a little while. I want to get back to the phones. 866-780-9100 is the number. Katie's on the line in Davenport. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Charity.
Hi, what do you want to talk about? Yeah, thanks.
Skellington Manor. I do want to make a quick note. It's actually in Rock Island, not in Davenport, so just across the river. But it's a phenomenal haunt. As Mike said, it started off in the woods. It was called Terror in the Woods. And I was lucky enough in high school to get to be in the cast for a season. Most of the castmates that are at, Skellington Manor, are there every year. It's very family oriented. They really go above and beyond just with special effects and the makeup and the costumes.
What was your role, Katie?
Oh, in Terror in the Woods, they had a gallery of really creepy pictures, and I was a ghost that wandered through the walls. They had secret doors and curtains that I could go on one side and pop out another and
fun.
Kind of scare people. It was fun.
So what's your favorite thing about Skellington Manor?
The detail. They do such a good job at mixing it up. As Mike was saying, they have so many different elements. The animatronics, they have like compressed air sounds that just make everybody jump. The props in the rooms are just inch by inch, just intentionally set up for the theme of the room. It's crazy how much work goes into making it super creepy.
and is it different every year?
I think they definitely try to switch it up to, for, you know, returning patrons to keep it interesting. Last year they changed it up a lot. And there were some special effects, like with fog, that I'd never seen before anywhere. They're a really great haunt.
Awesome. Well, Katie, thank you so much for calling. And Mike, I mean, Katie's talking about the incredible detail that goes into Skellington Manor. Where do all of those things go when the season's over?
Well, first off, I have to stop blushing over here. That was very nice, Katie. Thank you. Well, we are fortunate enough that we don't have to tear down a whole lot. We own the building that we're housed in, and so we're actually an event center, a banquet hall, 11 months out of the year. We also have 3 escape games that are happening all the time. But for the most part, we just kind of clear out the first floor, let it be the banquet hall and the bar that it needs to be, and let the haunt rest up on the second, third, and fourth floor for the 11 months while we can start working and get ready for the next year.
All right, Mike, we're going to take a short break. Mike Terzinski of Skellington Manor. Mark Fuller is here from Circle of Ash Scream Park. Ian Miller of the Slaughterhouse in Des Moines. We'd also love to hear from you, 866-780-9100, or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about haunted houses in Iowa. We have representatives from a number of different attractions around the state. Ian Miller, co-owner of the Slaughterhouse in Des Moines. Mark Fuller, co-owner of Circle of Ash Scream Park near Cedar Rapids. Mike Terzinski, director of haunt operations for Skellington Manor in Rock Island. We also want to hear from you. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Laura is on the line from Des Moines. Hi, Laura.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just want to give a shout out to Ian and the Slaughterhouse. My girls and I have been going, I think since he started years ago, and we've just watched it become really so incredibly professional and creative. I especially am impressed by the sort of movie-grade special effects and animatronics, and my 18-year-old now wants to actually work in a scary house. And so thanks for the inspiration on that one.
Nice. Well, so this sounds like a family tradition for you and your kids, Laura.
Yeah. You know, when they were younger, we would kind of go to, you know, the not so scary ones, and that, you know, going to some of these that the folks you have on today really steps it up another notch. And, I guess my youngest daughter got to the point where she was more interested in what they were doing and how they were doing it than being scared, and which is probably a very annoying thing. But so she kind of would laugh at people and be like, you know, how'd they do that? And I want to try that. So it was kind of neat. I myself stopped going because I don't crawl anymore. And also it is really scary, and I don't really need to be that scared at this time in my life. But I love taking the kids and supporting it.
Thanks, Laura. We love having y'all out every year. And, of course, we always have a home at the Biggs residence for any of your family members.
Great. Good to hear. I'll let her know.
All right, Laura, thank you so much for calling. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. And we have an email from Aaron who says, are there many women involved in designing haunted houses? I'm interested in hearing more. And so let's bring Amy Overby onto the line, who's president of JCI Johnson County. And many people in Johnson County are familiar with the attraction Scream Acres, which got flooded out this year, but it's a haunted cornfield maze. Hello, Amy.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here today and for being the female voice of haunted houses on our show this hour.
Yes, but thank you for having me.
Can you describe Scream Acres for people who haven't been there?
Yeah, so we are in South Iowa City, off of Black Diamond Road. We've been there for about 15 years.
holding our annual fundraiser. We're JCs, and so we are a nonprofit organization. So Field of Screams is kind of our biggest fundraiser for the year. We're really missing it this year and not being able to do it.
Well, and for people who come and visit, what kind of surprises and scares are they going to get when you're not flooded out?
Yes. So we set up different scenes throughout the cornfield. So it's really a path that goes through. It's about 3/4 to a mile long, depending on what the farmer does that year for a pass. We kind of leave it up to his discretion as to what's best going through the field when he's planting and clearing out and stuff. So, but we have different scenes set up, and we kind of play to, like someone else was saying, we kind of play to all those different levels of scaring. So we are completely volunteer, 100%. So we get a lot of students from the university who, especially in the Greek system, they have volunteer hours. So we can provide an opportunity for them to come fulfill their volunteer hour requirement and still get to scare people and have fun. But so we set them up at different scenes. We usually have about 7 going through there. We have a butcher shop. We have an insane asylum. We have a cage. We have a car accident scene. And then we also have people throughout there with chainsaws, and we chase people around with chainsaws, which is always fun. Anybody can do that.
What are your favorite kinds of scares?
Personally, my favorites are the more of the creepy ones, the ones that kind of just put you on edge. So a couple years ago, we had a volunteer who came in a nightgown, and she carried around a baby, and she just walked the field singing nursery rhymes. And it's kind of one of those things that it's not really scary. It's more of that creepy kind of feeling, which makes it a whole lot easier to be scared by other things that are coming up, too. So when people jump out at you, if you're already on edge, you're going to scream a little bit louder. And that's kind of fun to hear from the front, too.
Well, and I know this is a fundraiser for the JCs, and there are a lot of organizations around the state who do this on a smaller scale as a fundraiser. How significant a fundraiser has it been in the past?
It provides roughly 80% of our budget for the year. So we're doing some different things this year to try and get it so we can make up what we've lost this year. So we were looking at doing a mud run and to kind of use the flooding field. So we weren't able to get in there to set up or anything like that. We are looking at a different possibility for next year that won't be as weather dependent.
Yeah, where are you hoping to be in the future?
We are hoping to be in North Liberty, working with the North Liberty Legion, Club 76, the Lodge. So we're hoping to use their already existing area to kind of set up in there and have a haunted forest. Rather than a cornfield. The farmer would like to plant something other than corn in his field since it's been corn for the last 15 years.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's not a great rotation.
Yeah, he's been very generous in letting us do that for so long, and we really appreciate it. We want to make sure we can support him as well and give him that opportunity. So,
well, Amy, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Yes, thank you.
Amy Overby, president of JCI Johnson County. For the last 15 years, they've been doing a haunted attraction in a cornfield, Field of Screams. And you are welcome to join our conversation with your memories, your favorite haunted house memories from childhood. Maybe there's one that used to be around that isn't anymore. We'd love to hear about it. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And of course, I mentioned we had our female haunted house voice there, but Aaron's question is kind of interesting. Ian, do you feel like the haunted house industry, such as it is a male-dominated field?
No, I think, honestly, at our attraction, we've got 50 to 60% of our staff is actually female, and we focus on the strengths of the different genders, and we work to foster all genders at our attraction. And I think that more and more you're seeing more women take lead roles and positions in haunts. In Iowa, obviously the three leaders that are here on the show today are we're all men, but there are a lot of women in leadership roles within the haunted attraction industry. I think it's continuing to grow.
And that's coincidence here today. Mark, you want to add something?
Yeah, I actually, so I'm one of five co-owners of Circle of Ash Scream Park, and two of the other co-owners, so fully 40% of our co-owners are female. In addition, more than half of our cast is female as well. So it's one of those things where it may be more perception than reality that it's all these big burly men where it's actually 14-year-old girls that are scaring you.
Well, and Ian, you mentioned Slipknot earlier, and I want to talk about that. Slipknot, of course, the metal band from Iowa. You had a partnership with them this year. Tell me a little bit about how it worked.
It was amazing. It was once again a nightmare come true. It's something that we always, kind of joked about. Wouldn't that be an awesome thing? And yeah, they reached out actually early in the year, and I luckily looked through my spam filters and found this email from somebody, and it happened to include Slipknot in the subject line. And following up with that, I got on a phone call with a guy that happened to be very legitimate, and we kept talking and included more of the management team, and then it happened. Sean Cran and some of the other guys came down and checked it out, and they loved what we're doing, and it was just kind of a match made in hell.
So how did it play out for the people who wanted to be a part of your VIP Slipknot event?
Everyone's had great reviews from the attraction this year, especially from the Slipknot corner. We had fans from Japan, Argentina, Sweden, Canada, and all across the U.S. that came both on throughout our regular season and, of course, on Slipknot weekend. And they got a couple unique opportunities to either tour the haunted house with a band member, or just do a meet and greet, or tour the city with Clown. And they all had an amazing time. The responses we've gotten have just been humbling, and I can't tell you, we're cloud 10, you know?
So was there a performance in addition inside the slaughterhouse, or how did that work?
Yeah, actually, several of the members, we couldn't keep them out of the haunt. They were really excited to actually get involved and get in there and haunt with us. So that was, of course, for our staff, for our acting staff. It was huge. 90% of our actors are diehard Slipknot fans. You know, they all celebrate the discography. So to be able to haunt alongside somebody like Mick Thompson that came in and just like brutalized the cage room. I mean, like, it was amazing. It was larger than life. It was hands down, one of the best experiences of my life.
Well, congratulations. And now, not everybody's going to be able to attract people to their haunted house from, let's say, Japan, but there is lower level tourism that takes place here. Mike, how far away do you think people are traveling to come to Skellington Manor in Rock Island?
We hear about people coming from all over the place. A lot of people make their yearly pilgrimage, as they call it. Down from Chicago, from down south in the state, they make their way to us. Last year, we actually got a review in from a guy who loads up his RV and goes all around the country, making sure to hit as many haunts as he possibly can. He tries to do about 30 in 30 days. And he came up and visited us last year and said he's going to make a return trip as much as possible to come see us because he liked us so much.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we see him come from all over to come visit us and play for a little bit.
Well, and it's a pretty, I mean, as you said, 30 in 30 days. It's a short season for haunting, isn't it?
Very much so.
Mark, what do you think? How far do people come to Circle of Ash?
They come from all over. We have over 22,000 likes on Facebook. And so those can't just come from Iowa. And so we see many different license plates in our parking lot. And those people hear about us either from friends or from social media. And when they come, we hope that they have a great time, because that is a trek, and it is a trek to go to any of these. So when they come, we try to deliver the best that we can.
And what about you, Ian?
Yeah, how far away have they come? Yeah, as I said, Japan, Switzerland, Argentina.
Okay, how far have they come not for a Slipknot?
Yeah, Florida, California, all across the U.S.
Wow, and you know, it's fun. I have to imagine for the three of you to get to talk to each other. Is there kind of a haunted house community? I realize this is not a full time job for most people, but what do you think, Ian? Is there a community of haunters?
Definitely. There's a Haunted Attraction Association. There are conventions all across the country at this point. It's over $1 billion industry. There are all sorts of organizations and associations. And I do believe, I know that Mark and I have talked in the past, or Circle of Ash in general, and Slaughterhouse, we have kicked around the ideas of having an association, a more integral association in Iowa itself. And I hope that we can go forward and make that more of a reality in these coming years, Mark. But yeah, there's a huge community, huge family of haunters. And we all are very similar in how we operate and what this means to us, you know, and the passion of it.
And you mentioned maybe extending your season, but I'd love a realistic take. How much of the year do you spend on the Slaughterhouse, Ian?
This is all year. So we start, you know, November 1. Planning's already underway for what we're doing next year. And so it's an all-year thing.
We don't have time to go to it, but we had a caller who wanted to talk about Sleepy Hollow, which is a haunt where actors can actually touch visitors. I'm curious about your take on that, Mike. I'd love to hear your response. I mean, people come to be scared, but not necessarily have their personal space invaded. What do you think about that?
Yeah, we are strictly no touch haunt. We are very proud, and we shouted many, many times in the queue line that you will not touch us and we will not purposely touch you. Obviously, accidents can happen. You know, we are trying to scare, so we do get up into people's spaces and invade the personal space in that respect. But we never do anything to touch or harm, obviously, in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So I'm just for the sake of our cast and protecting ourselves and as well as protecting our patrons, we strictly adhere to that policy.
Yeah, Mark?
Yeah, we are also a no-touch attraction. We have done some special events in the past where people have signed waivers, and then we've gone more intense than that. But as we sit right now, we're strictly a no-touch attraction. And much like Mike said, that's for the safety of our customers and the safety of our cast.
Yeah, Ian, do you want to weigh in on that as well?
We don't need to touch to do what we do. And I think it's being echoed by the three of us. And I don't disagree with full contact haunts. I think they have a time and place, especially in our desensitized world today. However, we know that we don't require touch to scare the hell out of you.
Well, happy Halloween to all of you, and thank you for talking with me today.
Happy Halloween, Charity.
I talked with Mark Fuller, co-owner of Circle of Ash Screen Park near Cedar Rapids, Ian Miller, co-owner of Slaughterhouse in Des Moines, and Mike Terzinski, director of haunt operations for Skellington Manor in Rock Island. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
I am the one hiding under your bed, teeth ground sharp and eyes glowing red.
I am the one hiding under your stairs.